Blog Talk Radio.
And a great big hello and welcome. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host, and I appreciate you listening in today. Today's show is about organic pet food. Are you confused by what it means to be considered certified organic? Are you wondering what the difference is between natural and organic pet food? What about that stuff at the grocery store you see, or those big giant discount stores? What are the benefits of feeding organic pet food to your dog or your cat? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to have a special guest calling in, Shelley Gunton, who's the founder of a pet food company called Castrum Pollux Pet Works, with whom I had the pleasure of meeting and getting to know over the years, my time working with Petco. She's very knowledgeable about organic products and the industry, and we'll be talking about the regulations around the term organic. She'll also help debunk the myths and some of the confusion and the questions that people have. In fact, I had a few emails come in this week in anticipation of the show that we'll try to get to with Shelley. So that's what today's show's about. But first, I want to recap some activity from this past week that I mentioned in a prior show and thought you might be interested in hearing about. And this past Tuesday, I was involved with a speaker series at a local hotel restaurant here in Palm Springs. And the guest of the evening was Dick Van Patten, a friend of mine who I've talked about many times on this show. Dick recently wrote a book called 80 is Not Enough. It's kind of a memoir of his career on Broadway. And, of course, he does have his own pet food company, Natural Balance Pet Foods, for whom I work, just in full disclosure there. But we invited Dick to come out to Palm Springs. He loves it out in the desert, and he was part of this lecture series with Melvin's Restaurant. And so this past Tuesday, it was kind of fun, actually. Early in the day, Mr. Van Patten was photographed by Palm Springs Life magazine for something they have in their issue this summer. And so they had that photo shoot. And then later in the afternoon, they had PBS TV was at the hotel, and they had an interview with Dick in at the hotel about his book, about his career, about the pet food company, all kinds of fun stuff. And then, and that evening, was the actual dinner and then the speaker event. And Dick had his wife, Pat Van Patten, formerly Pat Poole, when he met her some 50-some-odd years ago. She was a June Taylor dancer, and so she had her own following that evening, people who were familiar with the June Taylor dancers. And Dick's son, Jimmy Van Patten, was on site. And so they had a great time. They played off one another, and Dick told some stories about his career, talked about excerpts of his book, 80 is Not Enough, and it was really a fun evening. It turned out to be a nice crowd at the restaurant, and a lot of folks who turned up, some who've been attending the lecture series right along with the restaurant. They've had a number of great artists, public figures who've come through. Most recently, Tony Curtis was there. Actress Tippi Hedren, you may remember her from The Birds. Carol Channing, great performer, was recently there. Those are just a few from this past season. But anyhow, so the event played out beautifully. It was a lot of fun, and Dick told a number of great jokes, and I enjoyed it. I really did. They the event raised money for a local pet organization, the Guide Dogs of the Desert. And so between book sales that evening, Dick donated 100% of all the proceeds, to the Guide Dogs of the Desert, and some money raised from folks who actually attended the dinner. So it was a nice evening, and it was good for the Palm Springs-based Guide Dogs of the Desert, too. So I would invite you, if you're ever in Palm Springs next season, they just wrapped up their speaker series with this past Tuesday, but check it out. It's a fun night. It includes dinner and then followed by one of their lecturers, and it's usually someone who has written a book recently or done something in, you know, some public fashion. They've either been in the media or have a movie or something like that. And they do tend to attract people to the desert who have this connection to Hollywood. So with Dick being out in Palm Springs regularly and such. He was a perfect perfect speaker. In fact, his career goes back, gosh, I mean, he started on Broadway as a child actor. He's been in over 600 radio shows, 24 feature films, 7 TV series. Of course, most of you remember him from Eight Is Not Enough, or Eight Is Enough. but he also was on one of the very early TV show called I Remember Mama, and that goes way back. But he had some great stories of working with some incredible talent, like Tallulah Bankhead, Melvin Douglas, Alfred and Lynn Fontaine, Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontaine. All kinds of people talked about growing up, his family growing up next door to some interesting folks. They lived next to the Jacksons when they moved to Hollywood, and his kids were playing with the Jacksons early on. So it was quite a career that he was able to share with the audience that evening. But I had the same experience when I sat through some of the other speaker series. They really shared some insights, things you wouldn't typically hear or read about in a book. And it's very personal. So anyway, that's my pitch for these speaker series events. And check it out. If you ever get to Palm Springs, as I say, the Ingleside Inn is kind of a legend, a staple here in the area. In fact, if you are a celebrity hound, if you're someone who enjoys that kind of stuff, you can walk through Melvin's restaurant, and on the wall are these great black and white photos of all kinds of people who have come through the restaurant over the years. So I mean, it's really neat. There's a great picture of John Travolta, who was really young in this picture. but I mean, there's, you know, Bob Hope, George Hamilton, Cher, Barry Manilow, Frank Sinatra, Dinah Shore, Elizabeth Taylor, Goldie Hawn, all kinds of great ones. Greta Garbo, John Wayne, Ava Gardner. I mean, you name it. Governor Schwarzenegger, back when he was just an actor. It really is quite the place, and there's an interesting group of stories from people who've gone through those hallowed halls at Melvin. So it is definitely a fun place to stop in. I don't know what the speaker series events for next season are, but I'm sure that it will be interesting and as eclectic as this past year was. I didn't make it to, I really did want to get to the Tony Curtis one because I'm sure he had some great stories to share, but I didn't make it to that one. So maybe next season I'll see who's on the docket. Okay, so I want to transition now into this topic of pet food. And as you know, I am in the pet food business. I work for Natural Balance Pet Foods. This is not a commercial. This is more about the topic of pet food and pet nutrition. And I think what people don't easily recognize or know about is that there really is a huge difference in the quality of food that you feed your pet. Whether you have a dog or a cat, it is a substantial improvement to their long-term health if you feed them better food. Now, that does not mean that you should feed them home-cooked food, because home-cooked food is not, while it could be great quality, it's very difficult for a person to get the precise balance of nutrients and vitamins and minerals that a pet needs at various stages in life, or the amount of food they need. So you never want to do that, but you do want to get a properly made food that is very high quality, because if you love your pet, you can help them avoid a lot of common health problems, conditions that they can run into, you know, all kinds of situations with their skin and coat, allergies and so forth, just by the nutrition that you give them. So my advice to you would be to always seek out the best quality food that you can afford, and that's what you should aspire to feed your pet. Now, what that means is you are going to pay a little bit more for the price of that bag of food, but let me tell you why that is actually a better deal. Lots of low-end foods require a lot of many cups, a lot of content, a lot of volume to feed your pet in order for that dog or cat to meet the nutritional needs that they have. So if you buy a food that doesn't have a lot of protein in it, that isn't properly, well, it is always going to be properly balanced. It's just you need a lot. It has low quality, inferior quality ingredients. You need a lot of it to satisfy your pet. So you could have a bag of food that maybe only costs you $29, something like that, or even less. But the number of cups per day that your dog or cat has to eat is a pretty substantial number. What that means is what's in the food, there's a lot of fillers, cheap fillers, things that don't cost a lot. And guess what? Your pet does not need all that, and so it's not absorbed into their bloodstream. And that means if they don't need it, it goes out. Less, it's more waste. So you have less being absorbed, more being sent out of the body, and that's what you have to clean up in the yard. So when you compare that and contrast that to a high-quality pet food, it's more nutrient dense. And so what that means is your pet doesn't have to eat as many cups per day. It's very rich in its nutrients and proteins. It's properly balanced, and therefore your pet eats it, and they may only need a cup and a half, 2 cups a day. The other food they may have needed, say, 7 cups a day, and you find that your pet all of a sudden isn't going through as much pet food. So while you might notice the price of a bag of a high-quality food costs you more to purchase the first time, it actually will last you longer, and so the quality makes a difference. So this is typically what you'll find in a high-end premium quality food, super premium food, a natural or an organic food, and that kind of leads us into our topic today about organic foods. And there's a lot of confusion around that. People just may not understand it. But you probably could make a case for saying that that organic food is healthier. And to get to that, I'm going to invite our guest, Shelley Gunton, to the show. Shelley, are you with us?
I am, Rick.
Welcome.
Hi, great to be here. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling in. I've asked Shelley to join us today because she is what I would consider an expert on organic pet food and organic nutrition. And Shelley is the founder of a pet food company out of Clackamas, Oregon, called Castor and Pollux Pet Works. And Castor and Pollux are the makers of Organics brand and Natural Ultramix brand. And she's very knowledgeable because she's been in the industry and she's a friend of mine, and I've invited her today to help us talk through this somewhat confusing but very interesting topic of organic nutrition. So, with that, Shelley, I first want to ask you, tell us about your pets. Who do you have at home, and what can you tell us?
Well, I have two wonderful, crazy dogs at home. Chester is our rescue from Project Pooch, which is one of my all-time favorite organizations that works with abused dogs and helps rehabilitate them through a wonderful program with young men who are in a facility here in Oregon. But he is a cross between a St. Bernard and a Collie. And then I have our 2-year-old Bernese Mountain Dog, Enzo, who is also our chief kibble tester at Castor and Pollux.
I've met Enzo too, so a great dog.
Yes, you have. So that's our family.
Great. Well, they're really the reasons why we have the passions and the drive for what we do. And I look at my pets every time I come home. I think this is why I do what I do, and this is why I care about what I feed them, because they just give you so much love and affection in return. So,
you're absolutely right. And it's interesting, when you really do step back and look at ultimately what we want to do in providing them with the best possible nutrition, it's all about trying to make them live longer, happier, healthier lives. I mean, ultimately, we'd love our dogs and cats to live forever. And if we're not able to allow them to live forever, then let's certainly make sure that they're as happy and healthy as possible, and therefore that they get the very best in nutrition.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going before you called in, is just about this idea that what you feed your pet makes a huge difference on not only the quality of life they have day in, day out, but in many cases it can lead to a longer, healthier life. And while that's not something any of us who are manufacturers of pet food want to get on the record of saying, oh, this will make your pet live longer, there's a lot of great research out there that very strongly suggests that pets live longer and are healthier. So I won't ask you to commit to that, but I'll just leave it at that. So, you know, Shelley, there are a lot of kind of pet foods out there today. And I think when I was on the retail side of things, it, you know, amazed me when somebody would walk into one of our stores at Petco and they'd see this huge selection. I mean, from every level and every quality you can imagine. I think it can be overwhelming for people. Just walking in, if you're a new pet parent, you walk in, you say, wow, what food should I pick? So what do you think sets apart the top quality pet foods from all the rest?
Yeah, and Rick, you're absolutely right. It is really confusing and even overwhelming for pet parents who see this incredible selection of pet foods regardless of where they're shopping today. And, you know, when you, again, step back and look at what's available on the shelf, there are lots of wonderful choices. I think when you boil it right down to the essence of what sets apart the top quality foods, definitely one of the things that we always talk about is looking for animal-based proteins in those first two or three ingredients. So whether it's chicken followed by chicken meal, or whether it's any other form of quality animal proteins, they really need to be at the top of the ingredient list. And that's because, you know, certainly on the cat side, you know, cats are obligate carnivores. They absolutely must have meat to remain healthy. Dogs, while not obligate carnivores, they're still considered to be carnivores and certainly do better with animal proteins than, for example, plant or grain-based protein sources. So certainly the presence of those animal proteins at the beginning of an ingredient list are most important in terms of quality. And then as you look through the ingredient list, one of the things that we caution people about is something called ingredient splitting. And, you know, when you're looking at that ingredient list, it may appear that you have an animal-based protein at the beginning of that list. But as you go through the ingredients, you may see five or six or even three or four different forms of one particular ingredient. For example, rice, you could see, you know, rice protein, rice gluten, rice this, rice that. And if you were to add all of those ingredients up, they actually end up to be in the number one spot instead of what you thought was your meat-based or animal-based protein. So just a word of caution to pet parents as they're looking at ingredients to be wary of what we call ingredient splitting. And then, you know, looking for quality sources of fiber, you know, complex carbohydrates, whole grains, looking for fruits and vegetables as sources of antioxidants, and again, great sources of vitamins, minerals, and natural fiber too. And, you know, if you look through the list and are finding that it's tough to understand or it is overwhelming to you as you're trying to determine what is a quality food, then pick up the phone and call the manufacturer and or send them an email, because I think another indication of a quality food is a quality company that stands behind it. And that company should be answering your calls personally, should be responding to your emails, and making absolutely sure that you are totally comfortable with the choice that you're making in feeding your dog or cat.
Mm. So, I mean, what I'm hearing from you is things about, like, reading the label, reading what's on the back of the package, the ingredient panel, the guaranteed analysis, that kind of stuff. Well, I don't think a lot of people know to do that, but it sounds like it's an important part of it. I mean, I know it is, but that's really the gist of what you're saying.
It is, it really is important, and it will enable you to not only become more educated about what's in the bag of food that you're feeding to your dog or cat, or even in the can that you may be feeding to them, But again, I think that if there's ever a question, something that's puzzling you as you review your choices, to by all means get in touch with the manufacturer so that you can get those answers and be satisfied with your choice.
Yes. Now, your company and company I work for both manufacture and offer products that are considered natural. And people are talking more and more about natural stuff in general for people and for their pets. And I think it is somewhat of an overused term, that just the broad term of natural, and it's confusing out there. And I do want to get into that in a minute. But what, in your words, in your opinion, what does it mean for a pet food to be truly natural?
You're absolutely right that it's a word that is being used more and more. So, and again, in our pet food world, it can be a little bit confusing. But when you boil it right down in terms of pet food, you know, a natural food is going to be one that, for example, is naturally preserved. That means that it doesn't have, for example, BHA, BHT, even ethoxyquin, and all of those preservatives used to be very common in pet food not that long ago. But you're going to look for a natural preservative system, and you'll be able to see that on the ingredient panel. It'll say something along the lines of naturally preserved with mixed tocopherols, for example. So that's certainly a top indicator to you that is a natural food. And then you're also going to see ingredients that are minimally processed and wholesome. And although that may not be obvious when you're looking at the ingredient panel, you'll be able to recognize most of the ingredients. Now, some of them may be words that aren't familiar to you, and those could represent either the addition of vitamins and minerals that are required for the dog or the cat, or they could even be things like prebiotics and probiotics that many pet food companies are adding to foods for reasons of helping to improve digestibility. But for the most part, you should be seeing ingredients that you understand and recognize. And again, if you don't, then contact the manufacturer and get those questions answered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what is so difficult for people is that the packaging today can be so misleading. And you can walk through the aisles of a grocery store, and you walk through the aisles of a pet specialty store, and you see things that look like that looks natural. I see, you know, there's some vegetables and meat and things just kind of falling from the sky, and you know, you might immediately, it connotates that probably is a natural, it's probably good for me. I think we kind of hit on this, that the consumers really have to read the label to know if it's natural. I mean, this is something that good marketers know how to do. They know how to not intentionally mislead, but they know how to certainly prepare something to look like it's a certain quality or whatever. And that's probably the biggest challenge, right?
It is. It is very confusing out there when you look at the wonderful packaging jobs that all of these different pet food manufacturers have done and have been very successful at. But it goes back to flipping the bag over. Take a moment, take the bag off the shelf, flip it over, and look at that ingredient panel. And really look at those top four or five ingredients, and then look beyond that to even the top 10 or 12, just to make sure that there isn't any of that ingredient splitting going on that I was speaking about. But if you're seeing those animal-based proteins at the beginning of that ingredient panel, you're seeing that the diet is naturally preserved, and then you're not seeing a number of different ingredients that, whether they could be preservatives that aren't natural or other forms of fillers or additives that the lesser quality pet foods use, then, you know, again, I think you're going to have a pretty good picture of what that food is all about and whether it's actually natural or not.
Mm. that's probably a great segue then for us to really get into this, the differences of between natural and organic, because it is, again, confusing. People may not know what the differences are. How would you get into that to explain it for our folks?
Yeah, and it is, again, it's another consideration for pet parents that is confusing, because we tend to use the words organic and natural almost interchangeably, and yet they're very, very different. The term natural does have a definition that has been set forth by the regulatory body that governs our pet food world. But if anyone's tried to understand that definition, it's pretty confusing. And it doesn't have a real specific regulatory enforceable body behind it like organic does. So when it comes down to it, the USDA set up the National Organic Program a number of years ago, and it was set up to really define and put into place some very specific regulations that were enforceable pertaining to products or ingredients that are certified organic. So if you are a natural product, it does not mean that you are organic. Now, if you're an organic product, it by definition means that you are also natural. So you can almost think of organic as being natural plus, if you will, because in the world of organic, whether it's on the human side or even on the pet food side, organic regulates right from the field and farm all the way through to the manufacturing of an organic product or the processing of an organic ingredient. And so, for example, any organic grains or vegetables or fruits that are grown must be grown in ground that has been pesticide-free for 3 years.
Mm.
And on top of that, when, for example, organics, our food is manufactured, the production line must be shut down for up to 24 hours for a mandatory clean out that must be fully documented for inspection by the organic certifying agency as they visit the facility on an annual basis, and then in addition they make surprise visits. The organic certification process as it pertains to organic food and even organics, our food on the pet food side, is extremely detailed. It is very difficult to obtain. It took us over a year to get our organic certification. But it really does cover each and every ingredient that goes into the product, whether it's organic or not. And then it also takes it all the way through, as I said, from the farm and the field all the way through to production, and includes the labeling and packaging of your food as well, so that you as a pet parent can feel very much assured that the organic certification has really made a difference to your food because of how highly regulated it is.
Mm. I want to share with you and our listeners a little excerpt from the USDA, I guess the department, the USDA National Organic Program. They describe organic food as follows. It says, organic food is produced by farmers who emphasize the use of renewable resources and the conservation of soil and water to enhance environmental quality for future generations. Organic meat, poultry, eggs, and dairy products come from animals that are given no antibiotics or growth hormones. Organic food is produced without using most conventional pesticides, fertilizers made with synthetic ingredients or sewage sludge, bioengineering, or ionizing radiation. Before a product can be labeled organic, a government-approved certifier inspects the farm where the food is grown to make sure the farmer is following all the rules necessary to meet USDA organic standards. Companies that handle or process organic food before it gets to your local supermarket or restaurant must be certified too. Do you agree with everything you just read? Is that your understanding? And does that same set of information apply to pet food?
Yeah, definitely. That, what you just read, pretty much encompasses the USDA's National Organic Program and the impact it has on our farms, our fields, our organic ingredients, and then our certified organic products. And I think that it really speaks to that degree of diligence and integrity that is not just in words, but it's in a regulatory program that has certifying organic certifying agencies who are actually policing it for us. And that's something that does not happen in the world of natural. It really is unique to the world of being certified organic.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned this, the notion of being certified organic or having this USDA organic seal. Can you just very briefly explain the differences for our listeners on the US, things that have the seal and things that don't, but they're still called organic?
Yeah, that's a great question and point to raise, Rick, because, again, it is a little bit tricky. Many folks believe that the only certified organic products are those that bear the USDA's organic seal, and that's that little round circle. Often you see it in green, sometimes it's in black, but it's basically that seal that denotes it is an organic and certified organic product. However, there's a whole category of certified organic products that are called made with organic ingredients. And those products are still certified organic, but they do not bear the USDA seal on the package anywhere. So, for example, if you look at a bag of our organics, you'll see that right on the front it says made with organic ingredients and that there will be three organic ingredients, which is the maximum that's allowed under the USDA's National Organic Program, will list three organic ingredients. Now, it does not have the organic USDA seal on it, but if you want to double check and make sure that truly the pet food that you're buying is certified organic, then flip over the bag and you'll see that there is a statement on the back of the bag that speaks to the organic certifying agency responsible for that particular product. So you've really got two major categories, if you will. You'll have the certified organic products that do bear the USDA seal on the front, and that means that they have 95% organic ingredient content or higher. And then you have the made with organic ingredients, certified organic products, and those are products that have 70% organic ingredient content or higher. So those are the two big categories. The same applies in human food as it does in companies that are making organic treats and foods for dogs and cats. That we're following those same regulations, and those are what you really need to look for at the shelf.
Okay. Now, for someone to, I started off the show talking a little bit about the cost factor, that better quality foods cost more than low quality foods, and that probably stands to reason. It seems like a logical enough statement, but I am really trying to make a point today that there are benefits to feeding better quality foods, but I think this goes a bit further than that, and that there are some benefits of feeding an organic diet to your pet. Do you have any thoughts on the benefits of an organic diet?
Yeah, and there definitely are some really fantastic research studies coming out in terms of the benefit of organic ingredients relative to their conventional counterparts. But in general, you know, first of all, if you're feeding organic foods, whether it's to your dog or cat or to your own family, your two-legged family versus your four-legged family, you're automatically reducing your exposure to chemicals and pesticides. At the same time, through the studies and the work that's being done by a variety of different organizations and universities, there is anywhere from 25 to 50% higher nutrient availability in organic ingredients than their conventional counterparts. At the same time, there are higher antioxidant levels, which, of course, is something that we're hearing more and more about in terms of increasing the antioxidants in our diets for purposes of trying to help boost and promote the our immune systems. There's also a taste element. When you have organic ingredients that have been processed or very minimally processed for one, but have been grown without the use of chemical pesticides and so forth, there's also an enhanced taste that is becoming much more talked about, certainly in our human ingredients, and can be extended over to even some of what we're feeding to our dogs and cats. You know, in essence, what you're providing to your dog or cat with an organic food and the organic ingredients that are part of that is a diet that has enhanced nutrient availability and at the same time antioxidant levels that could be potentially higher than their conventional counterparts. And at the end of the day, too, we need to remember that we're also helping our environment, that feeding organic foods and ingredients, using organic ingredients, is really a much more sustainable farming practice, which helps all of us.
Mm-hmm. Now, I agree completely. There's some nice ancillary benefits to organic food and products for the environment. But you touched on something that kind of caught my attention, and that's the whole pesticides and chemicals element here. Why should people be concerned about pesticides and chemicals in their pet food? I mean, you know, there's one whole argument that is there really that much in it? Or, you know, even then some people say, well, you know, the dogs don't live very long anyway. Is it something that people should be concerned about?
You know, it is for the same reason that you and I are concerned about what we're putting into our own bodies today and are much more aware of some of the results of continued exposure to chemicals and pesticides. They're being linked to lots of different health-related problems, and the same applies to our dogs and cats. And even though they may not be living to be, you know, 70 years old or 80 years old as we hopefully will be, but in their own dog and cat year equivalent, we can help them. Again, it goes back to what we talked about at the outset of our conversation today. We can help them live at least healthier lives and as a result of that, happier lives if we can try and minimize their exposure to those nasty environmental issues, chemicals and pesticides that impact all of us and are certainly not contributing to our healthy state at all. And the same extends to our dogs and cats.
Well, yes, and I mean even just a call out to our listeners for ourselves as humans, that pesticides they're very toxic to our nervous systems. And it's been very well studied and documented that chronic exposure to pesticides over time, that is a direct link to damaging our cognitive functions, our brain, the immunity system, our immune system, direct linkages to cancer, weight gain. I mean, and dogs and cats, while they are different than us, there are a lot of basics, bodily functions that are very similar, and it stands to reason that pesticides can have the same negative impact on a pet as they do for a person. So for our own sakes, it's good to stay away from them, and then certainly for our pets whom we love.
Absolutely.
Now, you've been, again, as two folks who manufacture pet food. Natural Balance, we have we just have organic dry formulas for dogs. Organics, you make dry and wet and treats in organic formulas for dogs and cats. I've got to imagine that over the period of time you've been providing these products to consumers, that you've probably heard some interesting stories, some testimonials or feedback. Any ones that ever stand out from anybody that you heard from?
You know, we've had so many wonderful pieces of feedback, both by phone and in writing, from dog and cat owners, whether it be with organics, you know, our organic line of food and treats, or even natural Ultramix, which is our natural option. I have one that I'd love to share with you that came from an organics user, and it says, "When we adopted our rescue Boston Terrier, she had been through a terrible time. She was recovering from malnourishment and mange. I did extensive research to find the very best food available to get her on the road to health. I believe organics made a huge difference almost immediately. Her digestion is perfect, and people remark continually about how great her coat looks. She is one active dog and the picture of health. I would also like to point out that the ingredients are organic in organics, and she loves it, which is just a big plus." Mm. So, you know, again, there are lots of wonderful choices out there. I do believe that with organics and with natural Ultramix that we provide outstanding healthy options for dogs and cats, whether it be in dry or in cans or in treats. And at the end of the day, we really want to do the very best we can for our four-legged family members. And as you said earlier on, you know, watching those tails wag and hearing those, you know, soft purring notes from your cat can make all the difference to your day when you walk in that door and you're greeted by these absolutely adoring eyes. And so that's what this is really all about. It's about providing the kind of nutrition for our dogs and cats, whether it be organic or natural, but of a premium quality that's going to really help them stay healthy.
Mm. It's interesting listening to that testimonial you read. When I was preparing for the show earlier this week, I asked someone from our customer relations team if they had anything to share, any testimonials. And, of course, she gave me a bunch that I don't want to read them all here, but there was one little excerpt someone wrote in and said in reference to our organic formula that we've also noticed a cessation in his skin rashes and scratching, though we were never actually able to have a diagnosis for them as allergies. Things cleared up anyway on your food. We attribute this improvement to his diet change because he hasn't had any other changes to his routine or environment. So interesting. Again, these are, you know, individual folks who have made the conscious decision to put their pet on an organic formula, an organic diet, and in their own words, what they're seeing. And one of the things I've really learned in the last few years is that people who have a pet today, they really want to hear what other pet parents have to say, their experiences, what they find works. And so, you know, you and I have been pretty clear talking about the fact that we are pet food manufacturers, but we're also people. We're pet parents, and we know people who have pets, and it's not just our word. It's people who have put their pets on this diet and seen a difference. And to me, that's the powerful part of sharing this kind of information, that you can go out after people are finished hearing this show, they can go on the internet and search for what people had to say, and you will, I would say, pretty universally find very strong testimonials for the benefits of an organic diet for their pet.
Yeah, I would agree, Rick, and it's pretty exciting to see what that difference can be for a dog or a cat. I mean, especially when you have dogs and cats that thankfully are being adopted from all of these wonderful shelters around the country and different programs. Many of them are coming into a home after having been through some pretty tough times. And, you know, when you can turn around and start feeding them an organic diet or certainly a high-quality natural diet and watch literally the transformation. You know, you look at their skin and coat, it becomes so much healthier, so much luxurious, more luxurious. You know, they have more energy. You know, we always love in the pet food world to talk about the quality of the stool. and you know, again, it's smaller, it's firmer. That's indicative of a quality diet. All of those elements that come together to create a much healthier, happier dog or cat, and it really does make a difference what you feed that dog or cat. And the same applies when you speak about earlier in the program the cost associated with it. If you're paying a little bit more per bag, but you're feeding less every day, then your cost per day of feeding that higher quality food is really on par with many of the lesser quality foods. So you really have to ask yourself, why wouldn't you then feed a higher quality dog or cat food when you can see all of these wonderful benefits that come out of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It seems very evident to a lot of folks, but I mean, there's a lot of people who still haven't heard the word yet. And I mean, I like to think of myself as an evangelist for pets. And I try to tell people all the time, whenever I see someone, I would say, oh, well, what are you feeding your pet? I mean, it's not even because I'm trying to pitch the brand that I sell. I'm trying to just get people to feed better food. And even last night, I was at an event and met Catherine Justin from Desperate Housewives, and she had her dog with her. And she was getting ready to go on stage, and I said to her, wow, your dog looks great. What are you feeding your dog? And then she named a brand that made me happy. And I said, oh, well, that's great. And you know, it just was interesting watching the reaction of other people around her when they heard that conversation, that dialogue. I mean, 20 years ago, who would have thought about asking what you're feeding your pet?
Mm-hmm.
But that's much
Absolutely.
More commonplace today. People who love their pets will talk about it because they're proud of the fact their pet is doing so well.
Right, right. Well, and it's interesting, too. I mean, I remember growing up with our family dog, and his name was Magoo, and my mother used to buy whatever was the cheapest on sale, horrible, nasty stuff, and we could never understand, and this was a long time ago now, but we could never understand why the poor dog was always suffering with skin and coat problems, and you know, unfortunately, we were told that he required medication and never even dawned on us back then that it had something to do with his diet. And I just look at how much we've progressed today in not only nutrition overall for dogs and cats and this wonderful availability of organic and natural foods, but then the difference that it makes with proper nutrition. And the fact that, you know, as much as I love veterinarians all over the country, I'm quite happy when I don't have to go and visit them with my dogs. And you know, we've been very fortunate in having these wonderful, wonderfully healthy dogs all through the years, and really do attribute that to the diet that they've been fed.
Well, I mean, I think you make a great point, and while it's important to visit your vet regularly and to take good care of your pet and have the checkups and whatever, you know, whatever required care your pet needs, feeding a healthy diet it's kind of like the apple a day keeps the doctor away notion that as long as you have your pet on a good diet and you give them access to fresh water and all that, chances are when they go to the vet, they won't have any complications or things that require additional medical care.
Right, and that's exactly the point. I mean, the dogs go and visit for their regular checkups, and in fact, Chester, we were so thrilled with him. He was getting a little bit on the higher weight side than he should have been, and we started him on our newer diet, which is Organics Less Active Formula. And between that and his daily walks, he lost almost 20% of his body weight, 20-25% of his body weight, and the vet is absolutely thrilled to death with him because he's in much better shape, and that has an impact on his joints and on his heart health and everything else. So again, it's absolutely critical that everybody continues to visit their vet for those regular checkups and provides the fresh water and the daily exercise, and combine that with a high-quality organic or natural food, and it's a pretty good combination for a nice, healthy dog or cat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. What advice do you have, Shelley, for pet parents who are listening today who they want to do something for their pet? I mean, sure, they love their pet too, but they may not be able to afford buying organic pet food. I mean, as we talked about, you know, over time it is more beneficial and you'll use less, but even so, there are some people where it's just not 100% possible to switch their pet over to a fully organic diet. Any thoughts or advice you'd give to those folks?
Yeah, and again, organic is definitely more expensive, although the difference between organic and natural has been diminished over the years as there have become more and more organic farmers, and that has brought the prices down a little bit. But, you know, again, a couple of things. One is, let's not forget the cost per day feeding discussion and really take a good hard look at what it costs on a daily basis. Don't be scared off by the cost of a bag of food. You really need to understand what your cost is on a daily basis. But the other thing is, you know, even if you're able to mix organic food in with your regular food or use some of our, for example, our organics cans. We have a lot of wonderful pet parents who provide a premium dry food, and then they even mix our organics cans in with the dry food. And you're giving your dog or cat the benefit then of the organic quality in that food, and you're also reducing, just as we talked about earlier, their exposure to some of the elements in, whether they be, you know, chemicals or chemical pesticides and so forth, by adding in those organic canned foods or even a little bit of mix in the organic dry. At the end of the day, we all want to just do the best possible we can for our dog or cat. And if for you as a pet parent, that means you can't go 100% organic or even natural, if the best that you can do is just some mixing as and when you can, then that's great. I mean, really, whatever you can do is better certainly than doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. One of the things that I talk to people about all the time in the pet space is if you're going to go the effort to feed a better quality food, don't blow it by sneaking in little low-end treats now and then. And this is not a sales pitch for people to get them to buy, you know, my brand. I always say, you know, think about it this way. It's kind of like if you're someone who eats a healthy diet and you shop at Whole Foods and you eat good food, and then you go and you have Taco Bell because you just need a snack, or you're someone who loves Doritos, whatever, and I'm not trying to attack those brands, but you get the point, is, you know, those little things will cause little imbalances, and for a dog, with their body, or cat, their body weight is so much smaller, feeding lots of low-end snacks, it really does it introduces, you know, things that could have allergens and other problems into their diet, and you'll see an effect on their skin and coat, on their digestion. So go the full way if you can. If you can do it, great. Don't introduce any of those low end things. If you have the option of feeding something a little better, but you just can't go all the way to organic, still look at what you're buying as the treat and the reward as well, because you can make it worse by, if you're feeding just an okay mid-quality food and you throw in a really low-end treat, that kind of just throws it all out the window. So I always tell people, really pay attention to what you're treating your pet.
Yeah, and I think that's important. It's if you are going to go to the effort of providing a natural or organic food as the daily nutrition for your dog or cat, you don't want to necessarily throw in the low end, cheaper treats. And at the same time, you also need to be a little bit careful too of supplementing the diet with anything. I mean, the beauty of today's pet foods, and certainly all of the ones that we make in the organic and natural space and using all these wonderful ingredients and wholesome ingredients too, is that they are complete and balanced. And the balance issue, I think, is one that's often overlooked. And while we have the best intention at heart, if we're throwing in odds and ends of even our own human foods into that bowl of dog or cat food, at the end of the day, what we're doing is actually upsetting the balance of nutrients that's in the dog and cat food. And our animal nutritionist, who, that's what he looks at, is, as you well know, Rick, every ingredient interacts with almost every other ingredient. And to make a complete and balanced food is a very delicate process that requires a tremendous amount of understanding about the interaction of all of these vitamins and minerals and protein sources and fiber. They all come together in this can, or even in this piece of kibble. So it's really important to recognize that it is a delicate science that goes into that kibble or into that can, and we really need to let it do its work and not upset that balance by trying to throw in lots of other elements into a diet, unless, of course, something specific has been recommended by a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good call out. Great call out. I think that today, for people who are listening, and it's so easy to get overwhelmed by all this information, I think the basics that you talked about today really made a lot of sense, Shelley. The notion that if you go to an organic, a natural food, or organic food is going to be a step up from so many brands that available at stores today, that you go to a pet specialty store and speak to someone, help have them find the right food that's just exactly what your pet needs, find some options. But most importantly, when you're getting down to the final decisions, turn the bag over and read the ingredient label. That's probably the biggest single piece of advice I can have for people. And just make sure that when you're looking at that label, the first couple ingredients should either be things that you recognize or things that are what you believe the food is supposed to be. So if it's supposed to be organic, you should see something in there that says it's made with organic ingredients, and the label should reflect that.
Right, yeah.
So it's
absolutely critical to read the label. And again, I would just also add to that, Rick, that if there's an ingredient that you're not sure about, then pick up the phone or send off an email to the manufacturer. There are certain ingredients that are unique to pet food that are not necessarily ingredients that you would find in our human foods, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad ingredient for a dog or a cat. And so, again, I think it's important that you really understand what you're looking at, and if you don't, then contact the manufacturer.
Well, Shelley, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. I appreciate your expertise and your enthusiasm. I just want to give a chance to call out your company. It's Castrum Pollux Pet Works. Organics is the brand. That's with an X. CastrumPolluxPetWorks.com. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Great. Also, my company, Natural Balance, has an organic dog food formula as well. And you can, there's lots of great places you can find this stuff. You can go to Petco, Petco.com, search the internet. Go and read and find out more about your pet food. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host from the Palm Springs Savant & Company. Join us next week, where I'll be live from London, England. Thanks very much.